everyone. You have joined Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are so glad you've joined us today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and who's with me today?
Michelle, I'm the Red Sox fan, Cardinal.
Oh, for heaven's sake, the Red Sox fan. My gosh, you didn't have to add that. You didn't tell me you were going to say that, Michelle.
I kind of had to, though.
Oh, okay. Well, the Rays,
Well, they've been doing okay,
yeah,
but they're still down at the bottom.
Yeah, I know, but there's always hope, you know?
It's
and but yes, I agree. You are a Red Sox fan, mm-hmm. and that's an okay thing to do.
Yeah, just throw them out there because the Stankies are up there, so
yeah.
You need to jinx them a little bit.
There you go. There you go. We are baseball fans, as you all know, around here. We're so glad you've joined us today for Living the Good Life. We are live in the studio, as we always are on Sunday afternoon at this time. And we rotate the people who join me. And actually, Michelle, 2 weeks from today, you're going to be sitting here in this chair right here, right?
Solo. Well, Catherine might be here.
Catherine may be here mm-hmm. with you, but you're going to do a great job. I have to run to Indiana and see my dear friends up there, but especially my children and grandchildren. Two of them live up there and my four grandkids, so that's
going to
be a fun time. So I'll be not here 2 weeks from today, and it's always good to be gone for a few days, but I always look forward to coming back, you know? It's just fun.
Yeah, it just helps you appreciate what you have.
Yeah, yeah, and I appreciate this show. I look forward to doing it all the time. Do you enjoy this?
I do. I really do, even though I get a little shy and I have a challenge
talking. Oh, yeah,
talking.
You're really, really shy, Michelle. I'm sorry, but dear folks, she just lied. But anyway. No, you're not shy at all, and you do a great job. You do a great job. And that day, you'll be emceeing. So praise God. We have got a great show today, Michelle. We really are excited about this, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm really excited because it is a huge message for everybody, no matter what their situation,
yes.
No matter where they are in their life. It's a powerful, powerful message. I'm real excited to be a part of it today.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want people to be able to email in with their questions or comments. You have the email up right now.
Uh-huh.
What's the email address that they can write to?
Pastor@BeaconOfHopeMinistriesIES.com.
That's it. So write it down, jot it down, and we would love for you to send us an email, a question, a comment, anything. And if you're watching us on the World Wide Web, which most of our listeners, we think, do listen that way, mm-hmm. even in the Tampa Bay area, because the reception is so it's great. It's fantastic.
And they love looking at us.
And they love looking at us. And we forget that they see us, you know, sometimes. But anyway, especially when we're like into a song. But you've got a flyer right up here in front of the camera.
Yes, I do. It's Justin Ryan is coming to the Executive Inn. That's where we are temporarily placed at our church, Beacon of Hope Ministries. He's coming Saturday. This coming Saturday.
June
6th, this Saturday. Executive Inn at, what's the?
It's 3580.
It is 3580.
Almerton.
80 mm-hmm. Almerton. And it's a Clearwater address. But this guy is just, words cannot describe just how powerful his music is.
It is powerful.
You really have to come and listen to it yourself. And what we're doing here Saturday, it is a free concert.
Yeah.
It is. Honest to God, it's free. However, and you guys always know there's a but because everybody does everything for free. But,
right.
You know, the man still needs to live. You know
right.
what I mean? So we're suggesting a $15 love offering. If you can't do that much, that's okay. You know, every dollar counts.
If you want to do more, yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Even more welcome. Because like I said, this guy, Justin Ryan, Justin's coming to see us. He used to be a part of Beacon and sang with the church occasionally. And he's a wonderful, wonderful guy and beautiful singer.
Very talented young man. So we feel very blessed to have him coming this coming Saturday, June 6th at...
At 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Executive Inn, 3580 Almerton Road.
Exactly. Wow. Okay. So that's exciting. And today's topic is going to really bless you. Get your Bibles, find them. And I'll tell you what, this song that we're going to play first, Michelle, night before last, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was singing this song. And this is not even that familiar of a song. We've done this sometimes at Beacon. It's called Trading My Sorrows. Mm-hmm. And I woke up in the night, and the next morning I got a hold of Connie, who does the music planning for the radio show. And I said, Connie, do you remember that song, Trading My Sorrows? She goes, yeah, yeah. I said, I woke up singing this thing in the middle of the night. And when you hear the words to this, and then you hear what we're going to talk about today on the show, boy, does it go together. And that's the Holy Spirit bringing it all together.
Amen.
Wow. Trading My Sorrows. Let's hear it.
And welcome back to Living the Good Life. I wanted to share with everybody a couple of more news bulletins, if you would. June 27 is St. Pete Pride. It is the largest one-day event in St. Petersburg. That's huge. It's been over 50,000 people that came, that joined us. So everybody, come join us. There's many, 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 many other vendors, live music, and it's in the Grand Central District in St. Petersburg. And also, come cruise with Beacon of Hope down to the Mexico. Hey, 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 Mexico. It's the date has been pushed back to February 18th and 22nd, 2010. To find out more about that, please visit our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. And that's with the IES. And also, while you're there, I want you to go ahead and click that PayPal and give a little love, donation to our church, because that's how we keep going here on the radio and keep getting the word out. The reality is, everybody, hard times are hard for everybody, including nonprofit organizations like us here at Beacon. And this keeps us getting the word out over the air, too. So please hit that PayPal button, too. But all our other events that are happening at Beacon or around Beacon is going to be posted up on that website as well. And now I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Marcia. She is going to start kicking it in Jeremiah.
Whoa, there we go. Get your Bibles. Thank you, Michelle. You're doing a great job. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah the prophet said that God had a message for him. And we haven't even told you yet today what the topic of this show is, Michelle. So I'm going to read this verse, and then we're going to tell everybody what we're talking about today. You still have time, by the way, to call a friend. And this is not call a friend for one of your lifelines, yeah. You know.
This because is like, we are your lifeline with this word.
Amen. Amen. But call a friend and tell them, hey, tune in here today to Living the Good Life at TanTalk1340.com. Jeremiah was told by God in Jeremiah 32:26. God's message came to Jeremiah. I'm reading from the Message Bible. Stay alert. That's a key. Stay alert. That's a key with the topic we're going to talk about today. Stay alert. I am God, the God of everything living. Is there anything I can't do?
No.
That's the right answer.
I didn't need a lifeline for that either.
You didn't need a lifeline. That's the answer, right? There's nothing he can't do.
That's right.
And this very verse, Michelle, goes right along with what we're talking about today. God laid a message on my heart Thursday night in the middle of the night, and it was all about the fact that people everywhere are living in, here's the word, discouragement.
I have no idea what you're talking about. That never happens to me.
Discouragement is the topic today of this show. And we are here to tell you that God has answers for the discouraging times in our lives. Are there any? Absolutely. If there's anybody, maybe some super spiritual person you know that says, oh, I never get discouraged, then they're lying to you. Because, I mean, really, if you're human, you're going to be discouraged from time to time. Now, God said to Jeremiah, is there anything I can't do? And that's a question. And we throw it out to you, listening audience today. Is there anything in your life that discourages you so much and you think God can't fix this? I'd be willing to bet money on the fact that there are things in your life. There are maybe health issues today. Maybe there's financial troubles. Maybe there's job issues, relationship problems. I'd be willing to bet that most of you listening today to this radio broadcast have some things in your life that bring discouragement. Would you agree with that?
Yes. A strong amen from the side of the house. Yeah.
It happens, doesn't it?
It does. And it's okay. And that's the first step, is to recognize that it does happen.
It does.
And we're human.
Exactly. We are human. And this morning at Beacon of Hope, which we had a glorious service, by the way, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, come and join us at 11 on Sundays. It's great. And we were talking about the prophet Elijah. Okay. So let's go back there for just a moment. Elijah it is found, his story, in 1st and 2nd Kings. So let's go to 1st Kings, and we're going to talk about chapter 19 a moment. And in order to fully understand the significance of 1st Kings 19, you have to understand that Elijah had a tremendous victory in his life in chapter 18. Huge victory.
Huge.
Yeah.
Like gigantic, right? And it's real important to communicate this. It was gigantic.
Victory.
Victory.
Miracle.
Gigantic. So think of this gigantic miracle.
Absolutely.
Because it's so significant to go into this, to the next chapter.
Yeah.
Because it was huge.
It's huge.
And we all do this.
And the whole thing that was going on was there had been drought in the land for 3 years.
Yeah.
And God came to Elijah the prophet and he says, go tell the king it's going to rain. Which is kind of a risky proposition. If it doesn't rain, you know, you might be touted as a false prophet.
Uh-huh.
And as Elijah prepares to do that, Elijah says to the king, it's going to rain, but listen, you got a problem here. We got to get this nation, Israel, back to God. Okay. We got to get this nation back to God.
Right.
Because you've got all these prophets who are worshiping Baal, and Baal was just an image. You know, kind of a stone something or other. I don't even know what Baal looked like.
A bale of hay?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it was a stone that looked like a little man. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe with a big belly. I don't know. Anyway, but it was just a little, image of some kind. Okay. And all of the country, the prophets who were the religious leaders who should have known better were leading the people astray and getting them to worship this false god. Okay. This was not God. Okay,
right.
This was a false god.
Right.
Ahab's wife, Jezebel, queen, right then, was wicked, wicked, wicked. And I tell you, if you ever hear the term Jezebel, it's in the book of Revelation. It's always talking about wicked, wicked, wicked. Okay, Jezebel was just, don't name your kid Jezebel. Yeah. Okay, this is not a good name for your kid. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Jezebel had all these prophets, and she had everybody worshiping a false god. Long story short, and you guys can read this later on your own, in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah, thanks. Elijah says to Ahab, I think we should have a showdown. Because you want God to send rain, then you got to be worshiping the right God.
Amen.
Okay?
Yep.
And Ahab says, well, what do we do? And he says, well, let's have a showdown and let's see if Baal, the false God, can send fire from heaven and burn up a sacrifice on an altar. Now, without going into all the details, do you remember from the sermon this morning, Michelle, what happened with all that? I'm going to let you paraphrase it in your own unique, funny way.
Well, I loved it because he goes, oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and call out to Baal.
Right.
You know, Baal, oh, Baal, answer us. They started screaming. And, you know, I have the NIV, and
yeah.
And it, what I really liked, it said, you know, at noon, they're shouting to Baal, oh, let it rain, going back and forth, jumping and jumping, let it rain. And
doing
Elijah
a rain
goes,
dance.
Yeah, Elijah goes, oh, no. Shout louder. No, really, shout louder. Maybe he didn't hear you.
Right.
No, shout louder. Maybe he's asleep and you got to wake him up.
Right.
No, come on. Come on. Go ahead.
He was making fun of them.
Yeah, he was
taunting
totally making
them.
Making fun of it. It was so funny. And they did. They shouted louder and louder and then did some pretty nasty things to themselves afterwards.
But, oh, yeah. They were like cutting themselves with stones and everything.
They said slashed each other themselves with swords and spears as their custom until the blood flowed.
Unbelievable. I mean, Elijah even said to them, I think maybe your God's in the bathroom.
Yeah.
In one translation, it says that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, he's just making fun of them.
And totally making fun of them.
Because here's this Baal God that all these prophets have gone over to worship, and he has no power. No power. I go back to Jeremiah 32:26 that we just read. And God said to Jeremiah, is there anything I can't do?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I can't do? Baal obviously couldn't do that.
Because he didn't exist.
He didn't exist. He was a figment of their imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And he could not bring fire down from heaven.
Yep.
And he could not. And so finally, these guys give up.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's Elijah's turn to see if God, and in the Message Bible, he's always called God of the angel armies.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. See if God of the angel armies can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So what did he do? See if you remember. I'm giving you a quiz from this morning.
Yeah, I remember because, the first and foremost, the great thing I thought was Elijah's powerful faith.
Yes.
He's like, go get four jars, fill them with water.
Yeah.
You know, and pour that on the fire pit, for lack of a better term.
Right.
Throw that. Four jars. Four.
Yeah.
Significant number.
Number.
To,
worldwide evangelism.
Yep.
Yes.
And,
that's what that number means.
He told him. So he basically like totally drench.
Yes.
The sacrificial pit.
Right.
So letting them know that I'm going to show you really what God can do.
Woo.
Oh, anybody can snap their fingers and light up a fire, right?
Right.
But how about we soak it with water?
Right.
And that's what he did.
And how easy would that be to start a fire with soaked in water?
You know? Have you ever tried lighting
a damp
fire?
Damp logs?
Damp cords, yep.
Yes. It's very hard.
Yep. And then you want me to go on to
go ahead.
Asked?
Go ahead.
And it was... It was this simple.
Where are you? In 1 Kings where? Tell the people.
Oh, 1 Kings. He's talking about the four jars of water in 1 Kings
18:33. Yeah.
Yeah, 33. And then he goes on in 36. He says, and it's this simple.
Yeah.
Okay, God. Oh, Lord, answer me. So these people will know that you, oh, Lord, are God.
Woo.
And that you are turning their hearts back again.
Amen.
Giving him a second chance. That's all he said. He's like, God, okay.
Yeah. That's simple. He didn't chant. He didn't do his little rain dance around the fire.
Mm-mm.
Or the pit. He didn't do any of that. He didn't have magic words, quote unquote, like the bad guys did, the false prophets. I mean, he didn't do any of that. He just simply says, hey, God, all right, time for you to do your thing. You told me to do this. Okay. I'm stepping out in faith. I'm doing what you told me to do. Now it's your time. It's your turn.
Mm-hmm.
Put the pressure on him. Put the demand on God, which, by the way, God loves that when you put the demand on
him.
That's
right.
because God loved it that Elijah actually went to the extent that he did and got the water and put it on the mm-hmm. sacrifice. Now, God was not like taking a nap someplace, was he, when all this happened?
No, because first of all, he's everywhere all the time, anytime.
Yes, omnipresent.
Omnipresent, that's right. He's there all the time. Yeah, God, can you let him know you're here? Poof. Sure. Immediately, instantaneously, before all the words were even out of his mouth, it happened.
If that doesn't do something to your faith, Michelle Cardinal, I don't know what else should.
Me either.
I mean, come on. You know, this whole fire with this whole pit was drenched in water.
Mm-hmm.
And God just, bam, there's the fire and a burn up. And, I mean, the people were just like on their faces. Oh, my gosh, we've been worshiping the wrong God.
Right. And what's real significant here to me is that God was okay. Everything they did was already forgotten. What does he say at the bottom of the sea?
Because
gone.
He's the God of the second chance, the third, the fourth, the fifth. How many chances y'all need?
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. There might be some of you out there listening right now or go, oh my gosh, I have been in places of discouragement. I have been in times I've turned my back on God. I have been in a place where I didn't believe that God could pull me out of this. And as a result of that, discouragement took over my life. Please stay tuned to, mm-hmm. in the next hour, which is going to go extremely fast for us here on this show.
As it always does.
And stay tuned because we've got concrete everyday answers of things you need to do to come out of this pit mm-hmm. of discouragement, because it is a pit and we get in it. We get in it very easy and we get kind of lulled to sleep by the devil, I think, Michelle.
You do, because you get caught up in it.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the next thing you know, you're like, oh. How did I get here?
Right.
A second ago, I was all happy. Hey.
Right.
And then it's just ticking away.
Discouragement takes over. Discouragement's powerful.
Oh, it is. It's
so powerful. So Elijah, here's the thing. God did a huge miracle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about this more in a little while. But in chapter 19, starting with verse 1 of 1 Kings, Ahab goes home, King Ahab, and tells his wife that what happened mm-hmm. and how Elijah killed all the bad guys.
The evil Jezebel.
You're crazy. The evil Jezebel sends out this word. Now, she doesn't have a computer or a phone that, you know, texts or anything like that. But somehow the word got to Elijah right away. And here's what Jezebel says. The gods will get you for this. I'm reading from the Message Bible. Mm-hmm. I'm in verse 1 or 2. And I'll get even with you. By this time tomorrow, you'll be as dead as any one of the prophets. In other words, Jezebel sent out a death sentence to Elijah. Now, Michelle Cardinal, you've been a few hours from this huge miracle where God sends fire down from heaven and burns up a sacrifice drenched in water. You have the physical strength to kill all the bad guys.
And you did.
And you did. You did it all. This is Elijah we're talking about. And Elijah, instead of standing up and going, oh, no, no. Is there anything too hard for my God? No, Elijah doesn't do that. He goes, oh, my gosh, he's going to kill me. Elijah does a very human thing, Cardinal.
I know, and I have a great analogy for that.
Please.
What it is I have my own business.
Okay.
I take care of pools, right?
Right.
And I've had a miracle myself. I mean, a true miracle. I started out with 5 customers.
Right.
And within a month, I went to 19.
Woo.
That's a huge miracle.
Amen is that.
In my world right now, that's God lighting a fire.
Exactly.
Okay. But then you get somebody saying, how are you paying all your bills? I mean, that doesn't seem like it's enough to pay your bills. How are you doing it? I mean, 19, you know, quick calculation. You know, don't you have electric and car payment? How are you doing
right.
it? And I'm like,
yeah.
You know? But, you know, praise God.
Amen.
Because I have committed my life to
right.
him.
Amen.
And asked him, said, my life is yours, God.
Exactly.
And because I did do that,
right.
I did not run like Elijah. I said, you know what? He did this.
Right.
Huge miracle. And
right.
I don't take the whole climax away, but That's what happened to me is I'm not going to lie to you and say I didn't have a thought. Yeah, maybe I should really reconsider this.
Right.
You know, because I'm still not where I need to be.
Right.
I mean, how am I going to do this?
Right.
Oh my God, I need to find another job.
Right.
I got to do something else. I need to make some money. I'm not going to make my bills. You see?
Oh, I know.
And that's exactly where Elijah
that's
was
where
right
discouragement
there.
Takes mm-hmm. over. When we allow those voices, the voices of the devil to get in there and convince us that it's not going to happen. Fear. You know,
after a gigantic miracle that
after
you thought
a gigantic
was never going to happen, it's
right.
so easy to be led right back into
exactly.
that discouragement.
Our humanness. Isn't that amazing?
Ugh.
And I think that this is a lesson for all of us listening today. We've got to stay in tune with what God is saying. We're going to come back and talk more about that in a minute. Station identification.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network, AM 1340 WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and AM 1350 WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel.
Too cool. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries.
And if you want to comment on anything we're talking about today, please email us at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com.
We want their comments.
Mm-hmm.
We want
do.
Your questions,
give,
you know?
Give us, you know, because there's two of us, we have two perspectives.
Yeah, it's cool. We want to hear from you.
It's fun.
It is. And we are excited about this topic today, Michelle, because I believe with all my heart, this is nitty gritty, everyday living. And that's what Beacon of Hope is all about.
Right.
Our slogan is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives.
Hurting lives.
Yeah, and it doesn't say, our slogan doesn't say, if you're green or purple or you know,
tall, short.
It's where the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't even say where we using the Word of God. It says where the Word of
mm-hmm.
God brings healing and restoration
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to hurting lives. And so we are so convinced, and that is what keeps us going.
Mm-hmm.
We are convinced of the truth of God's Word, you know?
Amen. Yes,
and
we
this
are.
Topic today about discouragement is a rhema word that God gave me a couple days ago when I was actually on a 2-day vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard God say to me, our people need to get over discouragement because this is rough times. This is May 31st, 2009. And some of you may listen to this show on down the line on our website, which you can listen to our radio shows. You can go there and access them. And you will know that by me telling you the date, these are tough times we're
uh-huh.
living in.
Mm-hmm. But you know, we have two choices, right?
Yes.
Seriously, we have two choices with discouragement. We can be discouraged.
Okay.
And do what I just said. Feed into it. Allow the fear of it to consume our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is the beauty of the Lord, too, is He gives us, we have this choice. Or we can believe.
Right.
That the miracle's yet to come.
Exactly.
You know, look at Jabez. You know, you bless me abundantly. He didn't say,
the prayer of Jabez.
I hope you bless me.
Yes.
He says, you bless me abundantly.
Yes.
You enlarge my territory. He doesn't say, I hope you enlarge my territory.
Right.
He says, you enlarge my territory.
It's a statement
it's
of fact.
Faith. Yes, it is. And that's what this discouragement is. You have a choice. And I know, I'm not stupid. I'm not trying to blow smoke in your ear here. I know it's hard.
It's hard.
But you have a choice to feed into the discouragement.
Yes.
Or to ignore it.
Exactly.
And say, you know what?
And do something about it.
That's right. You know, I only have 19 clients. I'm never going to make my bills. Or, hey, I have 19 clients from 5. I am blowing up here, and I'm going to double that because I know the Lord has blessed me.
Exactly.
And He continues to.
Exactly.
And He continues to bless me. And I know that. I believe it. And do I get discouraged and I stop believing that occasionally? Yeah.
And is it okay that we go through these times? Yes.
Yes.
But why stay there any longer than we have to?
Right.
We don't have to at all.
Mm-hmm. No.
And Elijah, it took him a while to come out of this.
He did.
It took him a long time. I mean, he even walked for 40 days and nights. I mean, this guy didn't just come right out of this mm-hmm. after this huge victory. Guys, we have got to take the action here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember from Jeremiah 32:26 that we started with a few minutes ago, God says to Jeremiah, stay alert.
Those two words
come back. Stay alert. And I think a lot of times we kind of go asleep at the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been driving down the road and can't remember that you already went through this section of town?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the road so much with my job in real estate. And honestly, there are times I go, you know, I'm on the phone or whatever, and I'm not seeing, I just kind of kind of drift through.
Yeah, because you're not
a whole
paying
section
attention.
Of the road. Mm-hmm. You know
it's like,
what I'm
hey,
saying?
How do I get here?
Exactly, and you kind of wake up. I think don't be scared to be on the roads here in Clearwater. Now, I honestly think a lot of us do that emotionally, Michelle, and spiritually. We just kind of drift along. Oh, I'm kind of in a blue funk. Oh, yeah. You know, and pretty soon the funk gets bigger and stronger. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And pretty soon the funk is stronger than our faith. And it's kind of like funk versus faith.
It is. You know funk what? Versus faith. And, you know, just by the sound of that word, I'll take faith.
I mean, seriously. I mean, yeah. You know, and the funk gets us into self-pity, Michelle.
It does.
We start feeling sorry for ourselves. Oh, you don't know. And you know what? Elijah did that.
Mm-hmm.
He got into self-pity. So there's people out there listening today, Michelle, that are going through some very hard times. Do you have something that you wanted to share?
No, I'm just checking, waiting for people to come in. I'm refreshing.
Okay.
Not yet, though.
All right. Okay. So they can still email.
Yes,
that's
they
great.
Can.
We want to hear your comments about this. How easy is it to come out of a blue funk?
Yeah, about as easy it is to get out of that muddy hole raining on you.
Right.
Every time you grab something, you slide back down. It's
right.
It's not hard. And, you know, the deeper you go, the worse it is. But the key is get out of it before it gets to that hole.
They're exactly.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Exactly right.
Then you can just step out.
Yeah, exactly. I mentioned this morning one of the first points, and there's going to be several points to this of how to get out of discouragement. But the first one is found in 1 Kings 19, and with the Message Bible, I can't tell you exactly what verse it is. I think it's at the end of verse 5. And the angel comes to Elijah, because Elijah ran from Jezebel, you know, and was out there just running. And so depressed, he fell asleep under a tree. The angel wakes him up and says, get up and eat. Okay. And that's point one. You got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we get into this pattern of maybe staying in bed for hours and hours so that we don't have to face our situation.
Yeah. You can just sleep it away. And, you know, unfortunately, some people go to alcohol or,
right.
or eating
right.
or shopping because they just don't want to face it. And,
right.
and some people sleep. So,
right.
and it is, it's right in the middle of verse 5. I have the NIV. And,
yeah, what's it say in the NIV? Yeah.
For those of you just joining us, we're in 1 Kings 19, 5. And it says, then he lay down under a tree and fell asleep. All at once, the angel touched him and said, get up and eat.
Get up and eat.
Now, this is what happened after Jezebel threatened him.
Right.
Scared the bejesus out of him. And he ran.
Exactly.
He just ran. And
right.
I like what you said this morning. You know, yeah, we may not have a desert to run to.
Right.
But we have that big black square tube we fix on and get lost in
and
called TV.
Right. And not that I don't hate TV. I
no.
love TV.
But it's an escape.
It is an escape.
You
a
know,
lot of times we don't
off.
Face things, you know, when we just escape into a movie or mm-hmm. whatever, instead of dealing with our discouragement. And our goal of this show today, Michelle, is that people will face the fact that discouragement is eating at them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much like a virus that tries to take over and, you know, just mess up your body. You
it
know?
Is. It's just like the common cold
yeah.
virus, you know?
Yeah.
And I, for one, and I know nobody likes to be sick, but I really don't like to be sick.
Really?
So the first signs and symptoms I feel, I have the little scratchy throat, maybe some watering eyes, a little congestion. I'm like, no way. You know, it's not happening to me. And I
Why? Because you don't like having a cold?
Oh,
why don't you
yeah.
not like having a cold, Michelle? I mean,
it's discouraging.
Yes, but don't you get to stay home maybe?
No.
No.
I want to stay home when I'm healthy.
Exactly. But you know what? So many people give in to sickness mm-hmm. because it is a cop-out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
It is.
It
that's
is
true.
A cop-out, and it's a lazy way out a lot mm-hmm. of times. And that's kind of a
just
strong
stay healthy
word.
And call in sick.
Amen.
A mental health day, right?
A mental health day.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. So, and that's I start taking the orange juice.
Right.
I really do.
I do vitamin C
them,
like
yeah,
crazy.
I'm telling you, and start eating right and
right.
resting. I
resting.
Mean, if you just rest instead of always having to be on the go. But the other key is, my analogy to that is,
good
you
analogy.
Know, of having my orange juice, doing this and actually resting is, remember, God just, he wants you to talk to him. Just like Abraham. Remember
Amen.
Abraham? He goes, I'm mad.
Yeah.
I don't get why you're doing this. I'm mad at you.
Right.
I'm mad at you. And God didn't say, well, to hell with you. He didn't do that.
No.
He said,
oh, no.
You know, I'm glad you're talking. I'm glad we're having a conversation here. This is what I want. You
exactly.
know, that's why you guys are
Can
here.
Can we because, talk?
Yes. I want a relationship with you, and that's part of having a relationship. So
Amen.
If you're discouraged, tell him, say, you know, God, I'm really discouraged. And, you know, while I appreciate the additional 19 clients, I'd like that to double. And I'm okay with that, and I'll wait in your time. But you know
exactly.
what I mean? You tell them. You
You're
say,
telling. You talk about how you feel.
Right.
And that is a big thing. And I think that's part of what the angel was saying to him. Get up. Get
mm-hmm.
up. Okay?
Get up.
Change your circumstance. Do something about what's going on. So those of you out there that are taking notes, number one, get up and eat. And eat has to do with not necessarily the chocolate cake on the cabinet.
That although, I really like.
But it could. But it's really talking about eating the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life in John 6:35. So it's eating Him, mm-hmm. taking Him. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 15:16 is one of my favorite verses. Mm-hmm. Thy words were found, and I did eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And they became to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I ate those words.
How can you not
words.
Want that?
Woo!
You know, that's such a beautiful peace and joy. There is nothing better than that. There really isn't. You know, the brand new car or the nice new couch or a huge screen. There is nothing better than peace and joy in your heart.
Amen.
There isn't.
You think it's a little better than than discouragement?
I would say so.
I think so too. Discouragement just absolutely drags you down.
It does. And it builds on it.
It does.
Discouragement builds more discouragement, fear.
Exactly. Yeah. I think a second point is that a lot of times people are physically tired. Mm-hmm. You know, when I went to the beach this week for a couple of days, Michelle, I was so tired. I told you on the phone. Mm-hmm. I slept 11 hours straight. Okay. I slept 11 hours. You know, mm-hmm. amazing to me mm-hmm. that I was that tired. We have a caller, Catherine. Comment.
Oh,
hi, girl.
Hi, Pastor.
Hey, how are you, girl?
I love this topic.
It's why do you love this topic?
Because Catherine never gets discouraged.
there's nobody that doesn't get discouraged.
Amen.
And the fact that we're putting it into practical terms, I think, is what is really important.
Totally agree with you. What did you, because you were at Beacon this morning and heard the sermon, did you hear some concept or something that Michelle and I have been talking about here that you can put into practice on a daily basis, and what would that be? I'm putting you on the spot, I know, but.
Oh, that's great. I'm trying to turn you guys off, so for some reason I.
You getting feedback?
I'm getting feedback, yeah. Let me see if I, there, that's better. Okay. Yeah, I did, because like the examples you gave today in service and what you and Michelle are talking about, when you get discouraged, people, including myself, don't realize that it's quickly going to go from bad to worse because,
Amen.
You know, you say, like Michelle's job, I've only got 19 clients. I really need 40. I've
right.
got this is going to be my sole income. I need 40. Oh. Then you start from that to, uh-oh, this happened. I don't know if I can fix this person's problem. What's going to happen? Am I going to lose another client? Is this one discouragement tends to build into many.
And, good point.
You know, people don't want to be around you as much. You're negative. You know, you're discouraged. You're not on your game. So it's so important to realize what's happening to you and to move past it. And if that message can get out, it can help so many people.
That is so good. And you know, Catherine, I used to play tennis years ago till I sat on my arm and broke it. So anyway, that was a long time ago. But you play tennis, okay?
Yeah.
Let's say you have a bad shot. I know you play championship tennis, okay? What happens when you have she's a pro. She used to play with Martina.
Yeah.
But Catherine, when you have...
I take it seriously, but I'm not as high a level as you say. But
oh, okay. All right.
You're right.
But you told me that. So, Catherine, anyway. what happens when you have a shot that is just awful and you've lost a set? Okay, let's say. Do you just sit down on the court, Catherine, and go, I cannot believe I lost this? Do you do that, Catherine?
I really don't, and that's one of the reasons I win a lot of my matches is because that's happened. What can I do better next shot? And if you only think of it that fleetingly, it's not going to overcome you. And tennis, like golf, is a very mental game. You have got to be able to handle those type of bad shots. And that's why the pro golfers, one of the things that makes them so successful is because they never think again about that bad shot or putt that they just did. They're on to how good their next shot's going to be. And I truly do play that way. I mean, we all have bad shots, but I have a lot less bad shots than I would if I went, oh, why did I hit that ball wide? Oh, I hit it wide. I hit it wide. I wanted it to go down the lane. I know
right.
How to do that. Why did I do that? You know, I practice this all the time. No. Bad shot? Let me do my good shot now. You know, that's just how I play.
How do you relate that to this topic of discouragement, Catherine?
We're all going to be faced with things that discourage us, and we have to recognize it. And, you know, bad things do happen. And
right.
People listening could say, well, you don't know my life. You don't know I lost this. You know, tragic things that happen.
Right.
And, you can say this is a bummer. This is really wrong. This is terrible what happened. And not let it totally consume you and keep you down, because it will, and it'll affect other things in your life. It's not just that event right there that's a discouragement. Everything else can become a discouragement. So we have to try to build each other up and support each other and not have it be, you know, as bad as it could be.
You know, Catherine, what I really liked about what you said is, you know, when you hit that bad shot, you're like, oh, that was a bad shot. Okay, I'm going to really think about the next shot. You're thinking about the next shot and the strategy of your whole play past that. And I think that's the key there is, okay, it was a bad shot. And you look forward to that good shot and having that faith. Just like in God, you say, you know what? Let's just say it is the devil. A lot of times it is, but sometimes it's circumstances. You know, sometimes it's, you know, the need to experience some suffering and that sort of thing. But let's just say, for the sake of this conversation, the devil bores you. Knacks you down a little bit. But moving forward, saying, just like Jabez saying, you blessed me abundantly.
Amen.
And you enlarge, you're looking to the next blessing.
Right.
Your faith is so strong that you're looking forward to the next blessing. You're not looking what Satan wants you to be doing.
Right.
He's looking at that icky shot.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what, Michelle? I just made me think of this when you were saying that. That is so exactly right, because I know people that have had a bad game and have said, you know, this game's not for me. Forget this. I can't do it. I'm not mentally strong enough. I'm going back to golf, or I'm going back to whatever sport. I'm not going to do this. And I think to myself, if I had ever done that, I would have missed all this fun, enjoyment.
Perfect.
Cool people I've met playing tennis.
That's it.
All this other stuff that has come out of it. Just because I got discouraged?
Right.
Wow, that's huge.
You know, this is, we're onto something right here. In fact, Big Ed, we're not going to do that next song, The Only Name. We're skipping that right now. And so when we get to the next song, we're going to go to the next, you know, whenever that is, up there at 5:31, we'll do that track. Because, Catherine, I want to keep you on right now, because I believe the anointing of God is very strong right here.
Amen.
And I believe we are getting at something right now here.
Yep.
This tennis analogy
mm-hmm.
is excellent, because people can relate to that. They've
mm-hmm.
done stuff like this, where they let their failure at the moment, or their real estate. I'm a realtor. I cannot tell you how many people have dropped out. I mean, we have half the realtors right now that
mm-hmm.
we did just 2 years ago in Pinellas County.
Mm-hmm.
Half. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, the things that have happened, you know, of course, to discourage. But Catherine, what you're saying is back to Jeremiah 32:26 that we started with. Stay alert. God said, stay alert. Is there anything I can't do? Now, how does that relate, Catherine, for the average person listening right now? Stay alert. Is there anything I can't do? How can you pull that in? I mean, you guys, I'm challenging you, but I want to hear your opinions on this because, you know, I teach this stuff all the time. I want to hear your comments. Catherine, you're up, then Michelle.
I think it's important to recognize here, stay alert, okay? When you're discouraged, are you alert?
No.
No, you're not alert.
No.
You're dulled.
Mm-hmm.
You're not on your game. Your senses aren't perked and you know, alive like they usually are. And things are going to pass you by.
Right.
Now, God is saying stay alert. He's telling us. He doesn't want us in that state of discouragement, disillusionment, you know.
Chaos.
Negativity, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Pity party, you know. He doesn't want to stand there because if you're there, you're not alert.
Mm-mm.
You're missing opportunities.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly right.
It is. And then comes the chaos.
Right.
And when you're not alert because when you're
discouraged. He loves to kick you when you're down.
And he does. It's true. Because
he does.
Because it's harder to get up. When you're down, you get kicked. You can't get up. And then you get kicked again. I mean, we all know that analogy. And what I think about is when you're discouraged, you start thinking about, how am I going to pay the bills now? How am I going to keep the electric on? How am I going to get gas in my car? And all these crazy things.
Yeah. Oh,
to
my air conditioner just sound. I bet it's going to break.
Yep, and now my refrigerator.
I can't replace it, but it's going to go on me.
Yep.
I know it's going to go.
Because that's just what happens. Oh, yeah, look, I got a flat tire. I told you so. Oh, look, I got, you know, it's a snowball.
It is a snowball.
It really is a snowball.
Because we've heard people do this, including ourselves, so many times.
Really, and you know, here's a big thing, what Catherine had happened to Catherine and I, we have an older house and we have a piece of old pipe, the old clay pipe,
mm-hmm.
when they first did the sewer piping back in the early 1900s. And this root goes through.
Yeah.
And it happened again. And I said to Catherine, I go, you know, this really stinks. No pun intended. No pun intended. But it does. It really stinks. I go, but you know what? Hallelujah. We heard it bubble in the toilet.
Right.
So we knew something was the matter.
Right.
Okay, the last time
there
that happened, it came up through the shower.
Right.
It came up through the other
two
toilets.
Right.
Okay, so the first praise report was, we heard a couple of bubbles.
Right.
Okay, it wasn't a mess. The second, Catherine hates that I'm saying this, but it's a good analogy because the second blessing.
Yeah, but what I was saying was, I called the city and we have to replace that whole pipe and it starts at 800 and could go to 2500 depending on how long the pipe is. And oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? Michelle's just like,
and we need a plumber and we need to do this and we need to do that. Right.
Yeah. And Michelle's just like, well, didn't back up. It wasn't a big mess. I think we can snake
count
it.
Your blessings.
Yeah.
And I did. I said, I think we can snake it and I can do this. But the second blessing that night, because we weren't able to fix it that night, is I had to open up our clean out. And that's literally, it is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's awful.
Okay?
Yeah.
When I opened it up, it was backed up. Mm-hmm. And I won't go into detail on that.
Okay.
Backup.
Thank you.
However, it was just the beginning of a rainstorm.
Woo!
You see where I'm going with this?
There you go.
You see, so we've got a couple bubbling alerts.
There you go.
And the rain.
Rain of the Holy Spirit.
Huge. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, like your little shower, Florida shower. It was a storm, a rainstorm.
Right.
And it washed it away. And so that was the blessing. And then, you know, we snaked
and
it out.
And there you go spiritually, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we open up, ooh, this is a great analogy.
Uh-huh.
Okay? When we open up, like you opened up that clean out.
Right.
We open up to the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh,
here it is.
Catherine,
yep.
Do you hear this?
Yep.
We open up to the work of the Holy Spirit and we allow ourselves to be cleaned out and to actually cry it out. I was talking on the phone to somebody as I drove to the radio station a few minutes ago that called me and said, oh, I cried so much this morning. God was working in me. And I was kind of embarrassed that I cried so much. And I said, don't you ever be embarrassed about the work of the Holy Spirit going on in your life.
Oh, amen.
That crying is a cleansing.
Amen.
And thank you for that sewer analogy.
Yes. And I know
it's
what
true,
you're talking
though.
About because I was there in the service and I heard the same thing. And I'm like, no, that's what we're there for each other.
Yes.
We're there to support each other. We want to help get ourselves out of these discouragements. And that's,
yes,
that's what, you know, that's what's happened. That's what should happen.
Exactly. Reign of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
Listen, Catherine, I got, and listening audience, I got an email from Leah out of Claremont. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit, because you tune in when you need to tune in,
right,
kind of thing. And you,
right,
to hear what you need to hear. And she's like, you know, this topic hits home with me so powerfully. Lately, I've been asking, it's going to make me cry because I've been talking to her and I know how discouraged she's been. And this is great that she even does this, but she says, asking God to guide me. Lately, I've been asking God to guide me in the right direction as far as my career. She's been getting so discouraged because she just has no direction in terms of that. And it's not in her character. She needs to be doing something. That the days I get discouraged and down, he somehow lifts me up when I simply ask him to help me. And, she, you know, this is exactly what what you were saying about Jeremiah. You know,
right.
Elijah, I'm sorry, God, it's that simple. All you have to do is say, help me. She says, the next thing I know, I somehow pull myself up and make a beautiful sign or a great cake and remember why I should not get discouraged.
Ooh, praise God.
Amen.
Praise
huh?
God.
That's huge. That's huge. Thanks, Leah.
I like that she said, I asked him.
Yes.
How did you word that in the email? She said,
she asked him to help her.
Ask him.
That's
to
it.
Help her. How many times do we not ask him?
Mm-hmm. That's it, Catherine. We don't. Do you know why? Because we think, number one, we can fix it on our own a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Or we think, you know, I'm just going to kind of enjoy this pity party I'm having right now. And too bad nobody else is invited. Or a lot of times we try to recruit people to come to the pity party, and they really don't want to. My mother is ill with Alzheimer's, actually. And she's such a blessing to me, though. There's times I went in her room the other night, and I said, how you doing? She goes, oh, I'm a little sad today. And I said, well, what's got to you? She says, you know, I don't even know. So she said, I was sitting here in my chair and I started looking around my room. She's got a beautiful room in ALF. And she says, I have a microwave. I have a little refrigerator of my own and it has my stuff I like. I have a new TV, flat screen, gorgeous little TV, have beautiful furniture. And she says, I like the color of the walls and they match my recliner. I said, to me, you're counting your blessings. She says, that's right. And I thought, wow, praise God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Catherine, we have got to get this message out there that when we are at our lowest, we've got to get our sit ourselves down. Or as the angel said to Elijah, stand up, get up, you know, and eat some word. You know, get in the word and get some fresh word from God. You know, just get some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Do you know Elijah honestly allowed himself to be in this blue funk after this huge victory? He allowed himself to be in that for a minimum of 42 days. What do you think of that, Catherine?
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is that he was in his discouragement for that long. And do you think God just said, oh, he's given up on me that quickly? I'm not going to use him. He's off my good list. he's done. No, he didn't do that.
I thought it was key, that 40-ish days.
Yes.
Because as many of you know, 40 is a significant number in that. It's a number for trials and tribulations out in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think of it as a renewal when I turn 40, because it's like you're renewed. You've gone through this funk,
right,
as Jeremiah has, in that.
You did turn 40 a few months back,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, me too.
So you're just a couple months older than me.
Just a couple months older, yeah. Uh-huh.
But and like you said, though, Catherine, that he allowed himself to be in there, and we're thinking, oh, my God, 40 days. How about 400 years?
There's people
like
that stay in blue funks
is.
For a long period of time.
And then I want to go back to Catherine's analogy about the tennis. And then look at all that wonderful all those wonderful experiences you've missed.
Exactly.
Right. You know, not only the what you know, those great shots, but the great people, the great places we've seen, you know, in different tennis clubs. And on your way to those clubs.
Right.
I mean, I could go on for days on this. Your way to the clubs because, you know, the clubs themselves are really beautiful.
Yeah.
The people that are there, we've had real positive experiences. But the scenery on the way, like, oh, my God, I didn't know this was here.
Right.
Oh, that's that restaurant we've been looking
so
for.
So look at that.
Well, yeah.
Look what you would have missed out on.
Yeah.
Catherine, about a year ago, you developed a blood clot in your leg that threatened your tennis career.
Right.
And your life.
And your life.
Yeah.
Okay. And I remember that you did not say, you know what, this is just too dangerous, I'm not going to play again. You did not. In fact, you were just the opposite. And we were going, Catherine, you need to take a little break here. And you're going, no, as soon as they got me out of the hospital, I'm back on the court or something close to that.
Yeah.
Close to that. But, Catherine, you did not sit down and feel sorry for yourself, did you not?
No. Mm-mm.
And what can you say to our listening audience who allows discouragement? And I said this morning, and I believe this, I believe that the root of discouragement is fear. We allow that fear to come and say, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if that happens? And what if I never have 40 clients instead of 19? And what if I never sell another house? Believe me, there have been times in the last couple of years I thought I never would. Okay?
Right.
What if? What if? You know, all of the what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do, Catherine? What do we do? What do we say to our listening audience right now before we play this next song? And you guys are going to be so blessed by this next song that Connie chose. But Catherine, give us a point here.
I just feel that you're missing out on so much if you, and you know, a blood clot is very serious.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that, you know, I did have to stay off for a little while. And
day and a half.
And my advice and thoughts on that is, if you have a love, you know, me it's tennis, you know, you it could be golf. For somebody else it could be scrapbook making, whatever it is, whatever your passion is. Don't let anything stand in your way from enjoying that. Don't let any discouragement stop you from doing something that you really love. You have so much joy that God's letting you have. And God's showing you there's so much joy for you to experience. Don't let a discouragement overwhelm you.
Thank you for saying that, Catherine. You know, because I grew up as a preacher's kid and a missionary's kid and always said that I would never marry a pastor, which, of course, I did not. I became one. But anyway, I honestly heard all my life, I don't go to church because it's just full of hypocrites. Well, of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are human just like Elijah. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, Catherine, people need to know the importance of gathering together and getting the word down on the on the inside of you. Like you, Catherine, Michelle, sitting here, me, we were at church this morning. We heard this word and we're expanding on it now. I am stronger right now in my fight against discouragement.
Amen.
Because of being in the word. Can anybody say amen to that,
amen.
Catherine?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's true. And it's just really good to talk about it in practical terms and to relate it to a scripture verse like you did for us, because it happened then. It's a lesson back then, but it's a lesson for us now.
Amen.
And it's something, you know, everybody's facing, and how do we all deal with it together?
Amen. Catherine, you're wonderful. If you want to call
really
back.
I enjoyed it.
Well, if you want to call back in a little while, you're welcome to. If not, thank you so much. God bless you. Listen to what Connie just put on that, not just, but she put on this, and she didn't know what we were going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You Raise Me Up by Selah.
All right.
When I am down and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Praise God. Wow. I don't know about you, Michelle, but I am absolutely carried away. That Connie just waits on God for the music, and she does such a great job as our music director of the show. And that song is what we needed to hear right then. And, of course, she had no way of knowing what we'd be discussing right before we introed that song. You know,
because she doesn't do this after church.
She does this
through the week.
Friday or Saturday.
Yeah. So she's praying.
I give her a topic, this is what I said to her, discouragement. Yeah. And this is what she did with it.
And this is, I'll tell you what, that song for me.
Wow.
Is the greatest song.
Yeah.
To meditate on when you're feeling discouraged, because it's like, when I am down.
Sing it, Cardinal.
My soul's so weary.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, that's exactly it. When you are down.
Yes.
And think about these words. When you are down and your soul.
Yes.
Is so weary.
And your soul is your emotions and your mind.
It is your soul. And it takes over your physical.
Yes. Yes, it does.
When I am down and my soul's so weary.
And that's what happens. And that's when the devil kicks us harder. When we're down like that, he knows how to push our buttons. He knows the things to get us discouraged, you know, and he plays on that, you know. And the good news of the gospel is.
Say it.
He's the one that lifts us up.
Amen. He raises me up. Stand on mountains.
Exactly. On mountains. We sang this morning, You're My Glory and the Lifter of My Head. And Marla, of course, did not know what the sermon was going to be about. And we used that song. She's our music director at church. And You're My Glory and the Lifter of My Head is Psalm 3. And David was very discouraged when he wrote Psalm 3. Okay. And he said, you, God, you're the one that lifts me up. Mm-hmm. You're the one. Guys, no pill in the world Mm-mm. can lift you up.
There's nothing. It's
like
a,
the power of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and the rhema word of God. And I got to say this about my son real quick, because a couple nights ago he called me and he was stuck in a parking lot and his radiator had overflowed. He's got an old car that's got a lot of miles on. And he says, I got to sit here for 45 minutes and cool this off so I can pour something in it and then I can go. And he said, so I called you, Mom. And I said, great. Thank you, Mark. And so we started talking. And he was saying that he had been reading his Bible and he had read two or three chapters in Isaiah the night before. And he just, God hadn't said anything to him, you know? And he was just like, God. And he was just getting ready to close his Bible.
Yeah, nobody's ever said that. Well, God's not talking back to me. God's not listening to me.
I think a lot of us say that, right? And he said he was ready to close his Bible. And a little still voice, which if you go on in 1 Kings 19, you find out that God spoke to Elijah and got him out of his blue funk mm-hmm. in a very small, quiet voice. And Mark said that Mommy says, I just knew I was to read on. The very next chapter in Isaiah where he was, the first verse got him. The first verse said it was it. And he felt lifted up. But he had to listen to that small, quiet voice. And I think so often, Michelle Cardinal, we are so busy talking mm-hmm. that we don't listen.
We need to be quiet to hear that voice, too.
There you
because
go.
Because also, prior to that soft voice, you know, all this thunderous wind comes by and you know, fire and everything. That's what we expect. And when we think about miracles, we expect this huge, Michelle, I am here to save you.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what we have.
We're comes that
all
voice
this grandeur.
Out of heaven.
Yeah, all this stuff, you know, all the gold is being poured down on us. You know, the mansion on the beach is there. There it is, Michelle. You know, this is what we're expecting, all these crazy things.
But right.
When it is, we need to be still.
Amen.
Just like that song said, I set a while and wait for you to come to me. And he does, in a quiet way. We just need to be still.
Ooh, that's such a powerful thing. That is so key to coming out of discouragement. It really is. It is getting your ear tuned. And if you need to clean your ears out with cotton swabs, by all means do. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to get our ears tuned to the voice of God. And the voice of God, and we find it here in 1 Kings 19 that Michelle just told you about, is very quiet. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, the voice of God may be a phrase that somebody says to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like what Leah said. She's like, you know, this is all I needed to hear was, you know, that discouragement.
Yes.
You know, that's all I have to do is ask.
Yes.
Help me.
Help
that's
me.
It. That's all it is. It's not, for thou is the Lord who cometh upon me. In so many words and scriptural Latin, right. Greek, and all that other stuff. Please. It's not that. She goes, I just asked him to help me.
It just, that's that simple.
That is.
But and when Elijah said to God, come on, God, it's your turn now. When he had drenched that sacrifice mm-hmm, with mm-hmm. all that water.
Just do it.
Okay, God, we're ready for you now. The next verse in 1 Kings 18, and I'm in verse 38, says immediately the fire of God fell and
not
burned
in a
up
second. Not just a second. Not a couple minutes. Immediately.
Exactly. And God mm-hmm. is there and he is hearing. And so many times we don't see the hand of God mm-mm. because a lot of times we're too busy doing mm-hmm. other things and not mm-hmm. noticing. Or we're too into our gadgets or whatever it is that we're doing. Mm-hmm. You know? Michelle, we've got to get this point home. So listeners, if you have a pen, write it down. Number one, you got to stay alert. Okay? And you got to be on top of it when you notice that you're not concentrating. This just came to me. I have a new townhome that I'm renting. And when I was moving in, my master suite is upstairs. And my sister said, you could easily fall on these steps. She said, you better be holding on the handrail. I laughed at her and I said, uh-huh, sure. I'll never use the handrail. I don't need to use the handrail. couple mornings ago, the dogs got up, you know, and they just usually they yawn a minute and give me a warning and I can open my eyes. But no, no, no. They were, this was early. They had to go out, you know. So I'm going down the steps and my eyes, honestly, to tell you the truth, were like half glued shut. You know how they are when you're just waking up and it was like 6:30 in the morning and I was like,
CPIs.
Guess what? I missed the bottom step. I was not holding on the handrail. I was not alert. I missed the bottom step and I hurt my knee so bad that I laid on the floor and cried. Kind of not crying, real crying, but you know what I mean? And the dogs are like licking my face and like, oh no, no, you know? And I'm thinking, you know what? I did that stupidly. I didn't hold on to the handrail. I didn't have my eyes open. I just kind of feeling for the next step and I missed the last one.
Yep.
Fortunately, I didn't miss six or eight of them.
Yeah, true.
True. Spiritually, we do that, Michelle. We got to learn to stay alert. We got to get this word out. We got to be alert when we see the symptoms coming on. I like what you said earlier about when you feel cold coming on.
Mm-hmm. You need to be aware. And if you, that chaos that Catherine was talking about earlier in the show is, you know, when that chaos, it prevents you from being alert.
Exactly.
Just like when you, when you're driving, you know, you're alert when it's the day, the middle of the day, or you just woke up, you're fresh, you're middle of the day, nothing's
right
impeding on your vision, you have a full tank of gas, and then by the end of the day, you're tired,
yeah.
The darkness has set in,
right.
And it's a lot easier.
Yes.
Obviously, my analogy here is that darkness, which we always see in the Bible, when that darkness comes,
right.
Chaos comes,
right.
And we tend to lose our alert state. And in those alerts, that time of being in an alert state, that's when you hear God.
Right.
And that's why the devil wants that chaos in your life,
exactly.
Because he doesn't want you to hear God. That's when you're going to hear God or see God or recognize something happened.
That's right. That's exactly right. And there's so often that we allow ourselves to get into that and we miss the blessings that God has for us and we miss the miracle. We just miss it.
Totally.
It's right there, but we miss it, and we miss it because we're kind of lulled asleep.
Exactly.
You know, in this little, you know, and we're not aware that God is wanting to intervene in our circumstances. Mm-hmm. And then we find ourselves crying in a blue funk, and God, why aren't you doing this? I'm so discouraged, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we've allowed ourselves to be lulled into sleepness.
And it's that simple, and it's that hard.
Yes, it
so
is that
we're
hard.
We're not telling anybody out there that discouragement isn't hard. We speak on this. I speak for myself because I experience it. And, you know, the thing that really makes me feel good is when Catherine has – we both get discouraged, but when she gets discouraged and I'm in that blue funk, she's like, wait a second. That's, you know, you're my Pollyanna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not
it's good to have a prayer partner that can bring you back to that reality of God.
It is,
you know?
Because, you know, when you have, and that's why I say you have church friends, family that you don't sit there when, you know, that reposition yourself, get up.
Yes.
Elijah, get up.
Yes.
You know, if you're feeling yourself get that way, talk to God, absolutely, but call.
Absolutely.
Call someone.
Amen.
Know, call me, call pastor. You call somebody because it's so easy to get out of that quicker.
Yes.
When you have somebody agreeing with you.
Totally. Prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com is our prayer line, and it is international now.
International.
It is busy.
Mm-hmm.
It is daily. You can just email. Well, the miracle of email is wonderful. Prayers or prayers, however you want to pronounce it, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. That is international, and we're seeing requests from all over the globe now, and it's exciting. Alice and Deb are still managing to hold the fort down and head that up from their new location in Houston and their new ministry.
Doing a great job.
And we need you to know that there is help there for you. You can email me always at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com or call our prayer line. We have a 24/7 prayer line now, which is 813-417-3377. With that said, Michelle, somebody may be sitting out there going, you don't have any idea how hard my circumstances are.
You're right. I don't.
Who does?
God.
Amen.
Because, you know,
amen.
I'm putting the cart ahead of the horse here, because you're going to hear it in a few minutes, but it is not far from Jesus.
It is not. I know.
You know, Pastor said this morning, I really like this, and you'll see this a little bit later on in 1 Kings 19, as the Lord comes to Elijah, and Elijah, you know, he's like all discouraged, and God's like, what's up?
Right.
What are you doing?
That's right.
I'm right here. You know,
exactly.
I'm here.
He does say what's up, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And he's changed, you know, he's had to use different terminology over the years, as you stated earlier.
Right.
But he's sitting there. He's like, come on, just talk to me.
Exactly.
Please, just talk to me. That's all. And that's, I don't know how bad it is.
Right.
You know, it's
tell me what you're feeling.
That's it. And it's the same thing. You know, I don't know how many of you heard about the guy. He goes to a room and he sees all these crosses, and God's like, go ahead. You want to change your cross? Absolutely. Go pick out a cross. And he sees all these huge crosses, these gigantic crosses in there that he needs to bear, because he's tired of carrying around his cross.
Right.
And he's looking around. Hours are going by. He's looking for the teeniest, littlest cross, and all of a sudden he comes upon it. He comes back out, and God's like, that's the same one you went in with. You know what I mean?
Good story.
So the thing is you're right. Everybody, you feel like yours is the biggest, and you know, I'm not taking that away. We have had some serious times of discouragement.
Absolutely.
But the one thing that remains constant is God's love for us.
Amen.
And he will bless you.
Amen.
You've got to believe it, because he knows your heart.
And God said to Elijah, you know, I'm going to do something about this, you know, and he talked to him in a quiet voice. Mm-hmm. And then he went on, and we don't have time to get into it now in 1 Kings 19, but God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take action and go do these things. And he had a list of things that he wanted Elijah to do. Elijah, it does not say in 1 Kings 19, sat down and argued with God about those things. I don't know, God, I don't know. You know, Elijah just walked 40 days in the desert, 40 days and 40 nights. I think he was pretty ready to get his act together. You know what I'm saying? And it says here that Elijah obeyed, and he went and did what God told him to do. That's 1 Kings 19. You can read it on your own out there. Here's the point. You got to stay alert. You got to get up and change your circumstances. You got to eat the word. I'm giving you all these points we've been talking about. Okay. You got to realize that you got to get your eye off of the failures in your life. Get your eye off of the what ifs.
So you had a bad shot.
Yes.
Now make the good shot.
Make the good shot. Absolutely. Absolutely make the good shot. Go the next, do the next right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's our terminology these mm-hmm. days. Do the next right thing. Okay.
Right.
Forget about the rest of it. And that's so scriptural. Psalm 103, God said through David that when you confess your sins, they're buried in the deepest sea.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
don't remember them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, you got it. You got to do this if you're going to come out of discouragement. You got to take the bull by the horn, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and change your circumstances. And you can. And you can. But the thing is, what is so cool is God says we all need each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're all part of the body.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So there might be times, Michelle, where you'll pick up the phone and call me and say, Pastor, the day that you lost your job,
mm-hmm.
back in January, you called me and you said, where are you? I need to talk. And I was just a couple miles from where you were.
Somehow.
That's God. And we met for lunch and you said, I just got laid off, you know? And it has turned for your good, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Although that day in January, it didn't feel very good
to know you just lost
your job.
Yeah, I was probably freaking out.
To put it mildly. And yet, you took the bull by the horns and said, okay, instead of sitting around and wallowing in this defeat, I'm going to stand up and do something about it. And dear one listening today, you have got to be the one. That doesn't mean there isn't somebody here to help you. We just said, contact us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let us know what's going on in your life. We want to be there for you. We want to pray in agreement with you. We've had so many answers to prayer. Unbelievable answers to prayer. It just incredible what God is doing. Not unbelievable. It is believable.
It would be to people who didn't see it.
Is there
it
anything
is, it's powerful
too big for God?
Nothing. Nothing.
I am so excited about this topic. You know that we're not going to be able to finish it up today, Michelle. Did you figure that out?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's just so much more here that needs to be discussed. So, in your words, tell me, what do you want these people to walk away with and actually do? Let's say somebody right this moment is listening and they are in a pit. Maybe they're even suicidal. Maybe they're ready to give up. In fact, let me, as you're thinking on that, God gave me this rhema word that if you want a copy of this, you can write me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com and I will email you a copy that God gave me the other night. And these are God's words. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read the first couple lines. Here's God talking. Yes, I've heard your cry. This is for you out there. I see your tears. I hear your pain, your doubts, your discouragement. This is how it is, saith your God. Stand up. Listen to this. This is what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up, take action, do something about what you're experiencing. Reach out to me. This is so right on. Mm-hmm. God, you were right here. Reach out to me again right now. Let me comfort you. Bring joy to your sad places. We did that song earlier, trading your sorrows for the joy of the Lord. Bring joy to your sad places and purpose to your struggle. This is not a time to give up and not a time to cower in unbelief. Not a time to give in to the pressures all around you. No, it's not a time to throw in the towel, but it is the time to rise up. Rise up and let me strengthen you for the journey. And there's more, and you can get a copy of this by emailing us. Final thoughts, Michelle Cardinal. We skipped a song. We didn't have time. We had to talk.
This is just too powerful. And what I would say is, what I would say to anyone is, no, I don't. I don't know the deep sorrow or discouragement you're in. And I don't, as nobody knows where I am.
Yes.
God does. But what I really want everybody to get is this. The difference between this and this. God, I need you.
Right. Silence, not doing anything versus reaching out to God.
Because, and I challenge everybody who's listening right now, and I'm not kidding, because I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
Oh, the anointing is very strong. It's very strong.
From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm shaking, and I'm not like this, but I'm telling you, you need to get it out.
Yes.
And by just saying anything, don't think about what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
just
think
talk
about
to God.
It. Just say, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to say it because God hears
exactly
everything. Even if it's and crying, cry.
Yes, get it out.
Get it out.
Get the pain out of there.
Some people need to throw up.
Right.
And I'm not saying that facetiously. Sometimes you get so sick. Do it.
Yeah.
Get it out of there. Most of all, just God knows what you're thinking, and if you're incapacitated some other way,
right.
But say, God.
Amen.
Show me.
We're going on with this next week. We're not done. All right. Big Ed, let's go to the last song. And it's not far. You've been listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're so glad you've joined us. Woo! It's been a great time. Pastor Marcia McAllister, Michelle Cardinal, signing off today, coming back next week.
And peace and grace to everyone.
It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no far from